Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling a really significant legal development out of Illinois, the Cawthorn v. Whitecastle case. You flagged this as something important, and our goal is to get to the heart of a seemingly simple question with surprisingly complex ramifications. When a company scans your fingerprint without your contemplation, is that a fresh privacy violation each time it happens? Or just the very first time?
Yeah.
As you can imagine, this has major implications for both businesses and, crucially, for your personal control over your biometric information.
Exactly. This case perfectly illustrates how, you know, established legal principles grapple with the intricacies of our increasingly data-driven world, especially when we're talking about unique identifiers like biometric data. Mm-hmm. Understanding how the Illinois Supreme Court reasoned here gives us a vital perspective on how privacy laws are being interpreted in the face of these new technologies. And the potential for, well, really substantial financial consequences underscores why grasping these regulatory frameworks is so critical for everyone involved.
Absolutely. And to help us navigate this, you've shared some excellent resources. We've got excerpts that look like podcast prep from a show called Case Cracked, a concise case brief for Cawthorn v. Whitecastle, and a more detailed legal brief outlining the court's analysis. Mm-hmm. So our mission today is to distill all of that down and give you a clear understanding of this really important ruling. Okay, let's get right to it. At its core, this case hinges on a fundamental question that the Illinois Supreme Court had to untangle. What exactly was the central legal issue they were facing?
The core of the issue revolved around interpreting the Illinois Biometric Information Privacy Act, or BIPA. Specifically, the court needed to clarify how to understand violations of Sections 15B and 15D. Section 15B deals with collecting biometric data like fingerprints, iris scans, facial geometry without obtaining informed consent, and Section 15D addresses disclosing that data to others without consent. The big question was, does a new legal claim arise every single time a company scans or transmits someone's biometric information without that proper consent? Or does a claim only occur the very first time such an action takes place?
To really grasp the practical impact here, let's think about a real-world scenario similar to what actually happened in this case. Imagine you start a job back in 2004.
Okay.
Then a few years later, say in 2007, your company implements a fingerprint scanner for everyday tasks like clocking in or accessing your pay stubs. Now, the crucial part, what if the company didn't actually get your explicit written consent to collect this sensitive biometric data until much later, maybe even as late as 2018? This is very similar to the situation Latrina Cawthorn experienced while working at Whitecastle. Can you explain her legal argument in this context?
Precisely. Mrs. Cawthorn argued that each and every time her fingerprint was scanned and subsequently sent to a third-party vendor for verification, and this happened repeatedly from 2007 onward, each of those instances, after BIPA went into effect in 2008, constituted a separate and distinct violation of BIPA.
Each time.
Each time. She emphasized that she didn't provide her written consent until 2018, long after this practice had begun. Whitecastle, on the other hand, took a different view. Their contention was that if a violation occurred at all, it was only with the initial collection of her biometric data. They argued that the subsequent scans and transmissions were not new individual violations.
Okay, so we have these two fundamentally different interpretations of the law. That brings us to the central legal question and how the majority of the Illinois Supreme Court ultimately reasoned. What was their analysis of the specific language in BIPA that led them to their conclusion?
The court really delved into the precise wording of BIPA. They focused particularly on the phrases collect, capture, or otherwise obtain in Section 15B and the word disclose in Section 15B. The majority of the justices concluded that each time a fingerprint is scanned, that in itself is a new and distinct instance of collecting biometric data without the required informed consent.
A new collection each time.
Yes. And similarly, every time that data is then transmitted to a third-party vendor for verification, that constitutes a new and separate act of disclosing it without consent. The court underscored the ongoing nature implied by the word collect. It's not treated as a single, isolated event that happens only when the data is initially captured.
That makes sense. It's almost like saying that each unauthorized use of your personal information, even if the information was obtained improperly once, is a fresh privacy concern.
Exactly.
Now, Whitecastle obviously raised some significant concerns about the potential consequences of this interpretation, what the court itself described as potentially apocalyptic damages. What was their argument, and how did the court address these worries?
Whitecastle presented a stark picture, arguing that if every single scan was considered a separate violation, the cumulative damages could reach astronomical levels. They even cited a potential figure of around $17 billion in this specific case, considering the number of employees and the frequency of the scans over several years.
Wow, $17 billion.
Yeah. Their core argument was that such an interpretation could lead to ruinous financial outcomes for businesses and result in penalties far exceeding any actual harm experienced after the initial collection.
Okay.
However, the Illinois Supreme Court was quite resolute in its response. While they acknowledged the validity of these concerns about potentially excessive damages, they firmly stated that it is the responsibility of the legislature, not the courts, to establish the rules and set the appropriate levels of penalties for statutory violations.
So stick to the text.
Stick to the text. The court did note that existing legal mechanisms exist that could potentially be used by lower courts to manage truly disproportionate penalties. But their fundamental position was that the law, as currently written, dictates that each violation can incur damages.
So the court's position is essentially, we're interpreting the law as it's written. If the potential consequences are problematic, that's an issue for lawmakers to resolve. It sounds like they adhered very closely to the literal text of the statute.
Yeah, very much so.
And you mentioned a crucial aspect of the court's reasoning. BPA protects a secrecy interest. Could you elaborate on what that means in this particular context?
Yes, that's a really central element of the majority's rationale. The court emphasized that BPA's purpose goes beyond just preventing tangible harm in a traditional sense. It's fundamentally designed to protect an individual's right to control their own unique biometric information, this secrecy interest, as they called it.
Control.
Think about it. Your fingerprints, your iris patterns, the unique geometry of your face, these are deeply personal identifiers, right? Individuals have a right to decide who gets to collect, store, and use that information. The court's interpretation, where every unauthorized scan or transmission is treated as a new violation, strongly reinforces this concept of individual autonomy and control over one's biometric data.
Okay, so the majority of the court was quite clear in their reasoning, focusing on the plain language of the statute and this important principle of protecting that secrecy interest. But as is often the case with significant legal decisions, there wasn't unanimous agreement. What was the dissenting view in this case, and what broader policy considerations did they raise?
The dissenting justices definitely had some significant reservations and highlighted important policy implications. Their primary argument was that the core privacy harm to an individual likely occurs at the point of the initial unauthorized collection or disclosure of their biometric data.
The first time.
The first time. They expressed concern that allowing for per-scan claims could transform BPA from a law intended to provide a remedy for privacy violations into a more punitive measure, where the potential damages could become drastically disproportionate to any actual harm experienced after that initial unauthorized act.
So kind of a punishment focus rather than fixing the initial problem.
Exactly. They also raised serious due process concerns for businesses. They questioned how companies could accurately assess and manage their potential legal liability under this interpretation if every single scan could potentially add thousands of dollars in damages.
Fair point. How do you budget for that?
Right. The dissent explicitly suggested that the Illinois state legislature needed to step in and provide much needed clarification to BPA in light of this ruling. This really highlights the inherent tension that can exist between a strict, literal interpretation of a law and a more pragmatic approach that considers the real-world consequences and the broader intent behind the legislation.
It really sounds like a fundamental disagreement between a very textualist approach to interpreting the law, focusing on the exact words, and a more consequentialist approach
right. That
takes into account the practical outcomes and the overall policy objectives.
Absolutely.
So, with this ruling now in effect, what are the immediate and longer-term implications, and what does this signify for you, our listener, and for businesses operating in Illinois and potentially beyond?
The implications are quite substantial. For any company currently utilizing biometric authentication technologies, whether for employee access control, customer verification processes, or any other application, this ruling creates the potential for very significant financial liabilities for any past or ongoing instances where they haven't obtained the legally required informed consent under BPA.
So compliance is key, and it's ongoing.
It's absolutely ongoing. Compliance with BPA is no longer just a one-time checklist item of getting initial consent. It's an ongoing obligation that needs careful management with every instance of biometric data collection and transmission.
Hmm.
From an individual privacy standpoint, This decision undoubtedly strengthens BIPA's position as one of the most robust and stringent privacy laws concerning biometric information in the United States. However, it also raises some really critical questions about achieving the right balance between strongly safeguarding individual privacy rights and the potential for imposing what could be crippling financial burdens on businesses, particularly smaller enterprises.
Yeah, that balance is tricky.
It is. And the court's clear decision to prioritize the literal wording of the statute, even when faced with these very real concerns about potentially excessive damages, is a really crucial takeaway here.
It definitely underscores the critical importance of proactively ensuring proper consent and data handling practices when dealing with biometric information right from the start. Now, as we've been discussing this complex case, several really key nuances have emerged. Can we just briefly highlight some of those critical takeaways before we wrap up our discussion?
Absolutely. First and foremost, as we've emphasized, the majority's unwavering adherence to the precise statutory language was the primary driver behind this decision. And it took precedence even over significant policy concerns regarding the potential impact on businesses.
Text first.
Second, while the court acknowledged the possibility of massive damage awards, they notably refrained from offering any specific guidance or framework for how lower courts should approach limiting these penalties, which introduces a degree of ongoing uncertainty.
Leaves things a bit open-ended there.
A bit, yes. Third, it's vital to remember that BIPA is fundamentally understood to protect an individual's inherent right to control and maintain the privacy of their biometric data. It's not solely about preventing direct, tangible harm.
That secrecy interest again.
Exactly. And finally, there's this clear division in opinion within the court, with the majority emphasizing the necessity of strict compliance with every instance of data handling, and the dissenting justices arguing that this interpretation might inadvertently distort the original intent and purpose of BIPA.
Okay, that provides a really clear and concise summary of the key aspects of this landmark case. So for you, our listener, the primary takeaway from our deep dive into Cawthron v. White Castle is that it serves as a really powerful illustration of just how significant legal interpretation can be, especially in the context of privacy laws governing rapidly evolving technologies like biometrics.
Mm-hmm.
This decision powerfully underscores the critical importance of understanding the specific language of legal statutes and the very real potential for substantial liabilities when dealing with sensitive personal data like our fingerprints.
And this in-depth look at Cawthron likely leaves you with some important questions to ponder. For instance, how might this ruling ultimately shape the future trajectory of development and adoption of new biometric technologies?
Good question.
What specific and proactive steps can businesses take immediately to ensure they are operating in full compliance and effectively mitigating these now clarified risks? And how might other states, as they continue to grapple with their own data privacy laws, interpret those laws in light of this very significant decision coming out of Illinois?
Yeah, the ripple effect.
Exactly. This case really marks a pivotal moment in the ongoing conversation about how our legal frameworks must adapt to effectively protect individual privacy in our increasingly data-driven world.
And on that thought, here's a final point for you to consider. If we accept the legal premise that every single unauthorized scan of your unique biometric data truly constitutes a separate and distinct privacy violation under the law, does that fundamentally reshape how we think about the very notions of ownership and control of our own biological data in this rapidly evolving digital age?
Interesting.
This significant ruling from the Illinois Supreme Court certainly appears to strongly affirm the principle of individual control. But the long-term implications for both the technological landscape and the business world remain something to observe very closely. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.